Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are awaiting the return of our commentators. Ivar is on the, just trying to get back in, but I did so. I want to tell our listeners that you can rejoin us right now. The score is Trinidad and Tobago. They are 35 for the loss of one wicket, or no wicket. They have not lost a wicket so far, but we are waiting the transmission of our continued coverage. 35, Trinidad needs 82 runs to win so far, and the Simmons is on 16 and Lewis is on 18. Jacobs none for 19, and I'll give you the figures of the other bowler right now, but we're trying to get you back. As a matter of fact, I've rejoined the commentary, and then if you could get back into us, Ivor, we'd be so happy. We play some music in the meantime. Stadium. So hold tight with us as we try to make connection.
With some force, who got an injury that seems to be hopefully now knows his way on the way to the plane to Australia, because he can walk into the tarmac under the wheels with his direction right now. And Lewis hoists the next delivery away over long off. It's almost a beaten team that you see in Guyana right now. Delivery outside the off, some short of a length, and he accepted it over mid-off, and that's gone all the way over. I'll be clearing the rope now. We'll get the confirmation as it cleared that rope, and that's a six to Evan Lewis. The score moves on now to 57 with our loss in the big game. He doesn't miss this, but is actually built in the ball over the bunch. As long as you're cleared, the man who has the way back, he was happy. Basically, without loss, as he was coming, just run away through the offside, and a poor effort at cover to cut it off. And Guyana falling apart here. They would usually be very, very sharp in the field, but that's the cover, and it's not. seven without long in the fifth over.
That was a top set from Lou Frazier. There was a bit of Brian Lowry in that one, I thought, although he was not a, it was a perfect shot. The wind was in the back of the net. All around the ground, past the extra set of
Flanders never got down to clean up. Brad will have the over now from Jacobs, and he's looking to hammer it away over cover. And that's gone one bounce for four. This is a romp. Pittsburgh go after five overs. 51 without loss. Some 19 runs coming off that over from Stephen Jacobs, who has none but with the Lewis is 32. Simmons is 16. So did that into Bigel romping to the title in a row. More from Julian Charles, and then we'll continue with the action here on Windies Cricket Radio with Andrew Mason.
Are you not finding a new hero in Luke? He looks a good player. He looks like one along for some time. He's comfortable on the front foot and on the back foot, and we have already seen that he's comfortable to the fast bowling as well. A good youngster to be in your batting lineup. Welcome, Andrew Mason.
Yes, and tremendous star from Trinidad and Tobago. And I suppose you can take the NLC in red.
All red all around the ground.
Indeed, indeed. It's
like a charger bull.
Yes, indeed. But they're really on top of the game now. 66 more from 90 balls, 51 without loss. And on the evidence of what we've seen so far, I think they may go on to the list of the canter. Here is Luton comes in, balls to Simmons. Simmons is back and puts it down to third man for a single. Outside land, the ultimate cut. And it went away for one. So what will Ghana have to do to win this? Can you tell me?
Well, they need to get wickets. But they won't get them kicking each other in the head.
Yep. You're right about that. 52 without loss, Simmons 17. But Lewis has come on, he's gone to 33. Took over from Perkins. Came back to the same from Trinidad that he should have gotten to the side a long time ago. And his ability hits the ball hard. Little man, but up. Meeting, he's a bit short. Goes round the wicket, but there's no doubt about his talent. Comes in again. To bowl to left-handed Lewis. He's in and to this movie Lewis is on the back foot and it's caught brilliantly at Cliff. Oh, what a good catch at Cliff. A ball fell along the off stump. He's staying it from the sort of Johnson who takes a magnificent catch. So beaten strikes from a good adjustment for the off stump. And a wicket now for the Ghana side with TNT 52 for a loss of one.
Good pace by Jitten. This one dug in again and Lewis this time having to send it off his chest. And Johnson died in full length to his left, goalkeeper fashion, into the V of the goalpost.
Yes, it was tremendous work. So he's gone for 32 caught by Johnson off beaten. It's just 18 balls from the young man. So what you've seen of him, you like?
I like
what you've seen.
I like him. He's well organized, offensive, backside, defensive shot, and can attack a book on the front. But as we've seen, he can hit over the top. Than anything else, so he looks comfortable and confident at the crease.
There's been a change in the batting order, Julian Charles. It's Pollard coming out of Darren Bravo, and the crowd love that, don't they?
Yes, a little treat for the crowd from a Trinidad point of view. That's what Trinidad team is hoping. Let's hope from a Trinidad point of view, look, with Guyana, we'll have other ideas, of course.
Are you surprised that Pollard is coming so early?
Yes, in a way, because I thought Trinidad could play safe and turn Bravo and keep the normal batting lineup. But they sense, well, they are on top, and why not give the crowd a little treat?
A little treat, I like that. You sound like a Jamaican, a little treat. What did you say that one? But last year, you go to Kingston.
Oh,
down, down.
Oh, it's a long time. I wish to go back up there. It's a long time.
You played there,
so I remember at least four occasions.
To buy that part?
Oh, I never played. Those days, no, I haven't. I won't play outside there, but other
players. You've never played at
Chedron Park? I haven't played there, but absolutely. It's a lovely time.
Yeah, look at that. Hello to all our friends at Chedron Park. A loss of one. Woody says that he's tight under the reason, and both the ball just a short delivery that was coming, and he turns off the hit to get a single, and the return doesn't come in. But it's not bad. But I expect to beat the ball a short ball at Pollard, because if he's vulnerable, balls banged into the ribs.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, Mr. Pollard, having to send this one down his chest.
Now, they're showing on the monitor the catch that Johnson took. It was a beauty, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely beautiful. Dived full length under the floodlight, as you know, it's not easy. And the pitch that didn't send bowling out, one would have to see pretty close
miles an hour thereabout. I don't think it's quite 90. The ball must have been traveling at some point. Okay, do you play the European football here recently? There was a Caribbean tournament here, and Guyana and Tunisia played in a good crowd, I would say myself.
Indeed.
There's Bruton comes in, balls outside the off, come off the back foot, goes Simmons looking to cut the ball away. Good pace goes by to be taken by the keeper, 52 to get some 86 balls. So this ground is obviously maintained by government, huh?
Yes.
It's owned.
Yes,
but it's run by a company put together by the government called Sports and Leisure Incorporated. And Barbados, Kensington, is run by a company called Coleman.
So what's the company called?
It's what? Sports and Leisure Limited.
SSI.
SSI.
Okay, there we go.
Sure.
So 52 for a loss of one. There's Beacon comes in the game.
Simmons back clicked it off. The hip down the short, back was square for one. The guy who scored a 54 for one. So what's the name of the president of the Finnish Cricket Association? Do you have any say in the running of this ground?
Well,
your association?
Yes, we have a say at the moment because the president of the Cricket Association has a place on the board.
So you're on the board of SFI?
Oh, don't speak to that.
I've of course the 4G and cricket on the island is only teaching that we should have a say in what goes on where. We try to put in our two pence.
I think it's more like 5 or 10 pounds, 54 for a loss of one. I want to thank all of our friends in Tindusha for treating us very well. I want to thank all those who looked after us, for Julian Child, who invited me to your box a couple of times. I certainly enjoyed your what you had on offer there. Up he's in both the Paula gets the ball, which is on the offside, and comes forward and plays up towards the off. That back looks as though it's Cedric Street as he puts up the mid off and goes a run. That ends the over with Trinidad and Tobago cruising. 54 for one is the latest score. Good, is it?
We are needs to no matter what life brings our way.
Well, there we have it. Trinidad and Tobago well on the way to they're well on the way to victory. And it's in the stands in St. Lucia, it's pandemonium. It's like Juve morning. They're jamming, they're ramping, they're waving, they're raging. All I can say at this time is that they're smelling victory. They're smelling victory. What do you say, Simons?
We said that 117 with Trinidad Powerhouse, they can knock that off in for 3 wickets.
Okay, how do you say, Leon?
Okay, I say it's a piece of cake for Trinidad, but, you know, the Guyanese made an error. They should have started with Beaton instead of Crandon. I thought how Gabriel had so much effect on the wicket. They should have started with the fastest bowler. You see how much he is get extracting?
Yes. Well, we did a bowling change, so Bishu is going to be taking up the attack here. So we are going to be going back to commentators on location.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Friends in the sandwich box. Wonderful stuff. There is a delivery from Bishu, which is on the round of leg stump. By Simmons up to mid wicket for one. Will they come out for the second? They wait for down. They'll get a second run. Confident is good. The aggressive running from Trinidad mid wicket has to come a long way off the boundary. Crandon and they're back for the second. Well, we have now 61 to get to 83 balls. Guyana at this stage with 34 for 3. TNT of 56 for 1. Bishop leg spinner. Little man comes in for ball at 2. Then there's Simmons who is on the back for 4. But 2 back. With a help there to get to the boundary before it does, it goes for 4. The field on the boundary could not get across in time from the cover area. That's Barnwell, that's banged away behind point for 4. Well played, Simmons. And the Trinidadian, I'm seeing all red down there now. What a performance from them. Tremendous work from our friends in TNT. Simmons obviously in a hurry. This one shot outside the off, Simmons. That's a chance for 4. Barnwell, I believe it is. Had no chance. He's on 24 now, 60 for 1, 57 to get from 82 balls. Michelle comes in again, balls to Simmons. Simmons is back and pulls it across that shot, really. Outside the off, down to wide long on for 1. That was, again, too short.
score goes 51 for 1. Simmons goes to 25.
Yeah, Bishu guilty of bowling far too short. The quicker he bowls the ball, of course, the shorter he bowls. He seems to be losing control. And he clearly is afraid of being hit straight back over his head. Instead, he might be.
Well, he's got Pollock to contend with. Pollock loves this kind of wibbly-wobbly. And really, Bishu has been off the boil in terms of bowling short. And Bishu feels a response to this. 61 for 1. Comes in to both to Pollard, and Pollard is going back and forced the ball away. Dunked the backward point for a single. Very big turn to Compton. Pollard Dunger sends a strong return. Danny's at the moment are not competing. 55 to get from 80 balls to 52. One Pollard is off the mark. Simmons is in 25. Yes, indeed. Autopilot now. Yeah, and in. Here's it. Bishu. The ball to Simmons, and it is delivery. Simmons is going back, pushing the ball from the line of the leg stump. He literally turned it with an impact, and it goes up towards the wicket, and he's a single. Bishu went after it. What do we have now in terms of the equation? 54 to get from 79, 62 for 1.
Well,
it's being well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fairly professional. In the drivers, do not think that there's any relaxation. They're taking it very seriously.
As Bishu comes in again to both to Pollard to this delivery. Pollard is back, gets a wide ball, simply call a wide. Bantar to start, it was too wide the off stump, taken by the keeper. One would want to say that Bishu was hiding from Pollard. Have you ever seen a stick of rhubarb? There's the delivery as he continues now on his way. Bishu, he's up to the wicket, he's in and both. Pollard is back. Over the wicket, but set one and about just only one. Condon comes across to his right, picks the ball up on the bump, just a single, too short again from Bishu, 52 from 78 balls, 65 for 1 at the end of that over, so TNT, 65 for 1 with a score.
Let TNT continue their onward match to victory. It seems a sovereign control, everything looking rather simple, and we can see the movement in the crowd. I don't want to suggest that.
Yeah, I think
we better go home.
I think that's the contest.
It's clearly
they've got
a few runs to go
Trinidad
in the
general. I did ask a while ago about the stick of rhubarb because we used to
sometimes you hear them say you could not have hit that stiffen with a stick of rhubarb.
Yeah, is that the first time you heard it?
Well, but I've never seen a stick of rhubarb.
No, I haven't. But I'm sure it'll take me somewhere in report tomorrow to see it.
I don't know what it is.
Looks as if it's going to be beaten to continue. There's a gentleman who is to your right. He's got a checkbook. You have to sign something before we go? What are you going to sign? You're going to sign a check for the commentators?
Oh, yeah.
There's a baby from a bit too short of a length.
Yes.
Put your glasses on. Do you want my pen?
The pens,
the pen you've got is not expensive.
I would never want to say it's cheap.
No, you've got some gold in England.
I've got some gold, yes, indeed.
So, we have the president checking the check quite carefully. He's just going to sign it. It's a check worth $1 million as well.
Big fat.
And that's what Trinidad and Tobago deserves. They've done really well here. Beating those back to us, mark 52 to get some 77 balls. He comes on his way to both the Pollard, in both the Pollard, and Pollard is going across the line and push it from the line. And that makes up North American goes on run.
Yes, indeed. Pollard having a bit of a look before he. I hate to think that Pollard will just come here and bluff. That's not his nature.
Yes.
And you see him having a chat with Jacob. He's probably thinking, well, I'm going to look to put the third ball in his front view, shoot back over his head for six.
Yes, sir. No, I think. He wants to do that, but that beating is a bit sharp, and he's banging the ball into the pitch. He comes in to both the Pollard. There's the Lewis Pollard. Lifting the living, that's where the ball goes. Over the keeper's head, it's going to go before White, I would imagine. That was banged into the pitch, and it went very close to Pollard's helmet. The keeper couldn't get a foot first from Young Beaton, but it was caught Diana.
This is good, aggressive fast bowling. It's a fast bowling that we saw way back in the 70s and 80s. Consistently when West Indian, whenever there was West Indian cricket, and this is a genuine fast bowler. There's no major pitch about what he's seen at
no decision. The time he comes from Essequibo, and Well, we want to say hello to all our friends in Essequibo. They're going to be very proud of this young man. Fortunately, to get from 75 balls, he's in both the Pollard. Probably gets a chalk ball covered. Come down towards Milan. And there's a run. Good tight bowling. 69. And 2 Simmons has got 26. Yes, Bernard kept on the back foot, having to defend up his chest. And didn't really think that almost on himself now. Bernard should get on the front foot. That's the impression I'm getting. He's just kidding. He's not had anything to hit whatsoever. Mm. And Bernard also looking for chest. Do you have any young fast bowlers around and St. Lucia that we should keep our eyes on? Julian?
Well, I cannot say. We've got a couple of decent ones, but we'll come back to it.
Here's Easton comes in, both the ball is short again, down the leg side, it's going to be called away by the umpire game. Banded to the ground, and it's going down the leg side, a widest call. And that is aggression, but of course, you may want to see that more in the four-day game, the four-day competition starts very soon. Once there are no flat pitches, which may be provided. But I mean, you've got a good pitch. I like the pitch at both of you. Who's your creator?
Ken Crafton.
Beaton comes in both the Pollard comes across the ball on the leg side, and it's not called a white, and it's maybe went over the top of the leg, 47 to get from 70. But I met a gentleman in the box called, his last name is Forbes. He told me that he played for St. Lucia.
He played for St. Lucia.
And he went with as well?
He went with, and he did.
Patrick Thorpe, I met him.
Yes, he was quite a good player, but it was those days where the Winwood played against the league.
Oh, I see.
And of course, you'd have to get a pick ahead of the likes of this Richard.
He was in the middle of the bat.
He did a couple of games, though.
Here's a delivery from Beaton, which is short. Again, bang to the pitch. But the umpire, for height, over the pier.
And
short of the length, and the score is up to.
And Thorpe is a loss of one.
Pollard is not enjoying this. First of all, he doesn't want to get in the line because he's walking across and the ball started over the middle stick, and now he's pointing at his head.
As if to suggest to the bowler he needs to use his head a little more.
I think it's a psychology because Pollard is not enjoying this. Let's see what he does. Do you think he pushes one up, Julian? Let's see. In he comes. Up on his way to both the Pollard in both. Outside the off stump taken by the keeper. So it was predictable, and that ends over at the end of it. With 46 more to get from 72 balls, at 71 for one. The latest story at Boulder.
Well, what can we say? This guy seems to be just as quick.
And Gabriel, yes.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Guyana made an error. They should have brought this guy on first.
Yeah, he has Pollard here looking like a boxer, man. He's ducking and bobbing and weaving.
Yep.
But this is good practice for Pollard, too, because he's on his way to Australia, and we're going to get more of the same going down here.
You're right.
Yes. Well,
Bishu is gone, man.
Anyway,
Bishu
well,
gone.
No, he's alien.
By Simmons, down to white side now, go for four, it was outside the off stump from Bishop. Jacob Chan pull it back and goes for four, it was short for the off stump and played away for four. And the Trinidadians are jumping. And it was very close to the off stump there, if you look at the marker. But it ran for four. That's a very good shot indeed. And Simmons coming back onto the back foot and cutting this one, I thought brilliantly. 42 from 71 balls, now 75 to loss of one. Here's Bishu, he's in and ball short, he's back, punches down to cover. This is going to roll towards the boundary, just one. Will they come for a second? I'm sure they will. The return comes in. Simmons is on fire on the back for the book. Sean comes across his right down to cover. So 40 to get from 70 balls, 70. Simmons is really enjoying this bowling. He's got a huge smile on his face. He comes in again, Bishu. The ball to Simmons with his delivery. He's hitting the ball high, and now that's gone mild over the lawn. Here, that's gone for 6 runs. What a lovely shot by Simmons. Well, they're really enjoying this. The Trinidadians are here in all their numbers, and that was given to me. And Simmons put the bat on that, and he hit it hard, and it sails over the ball. That's gone for 6 runs. Here, Simmons.
Yes, he should be just been shot outside the off stump with the left wing, and Simmons has been able to cut him, but this time it was the Googly, and Simmons picked it. Very early indeed, and he's straight.
34 from 69 balls. Simmons goes to 30. Bishop's
He's bringing the ball away. That's going even further in a different direction over the wicket. Bang! That's going for six under the grass mat that have, in fact, no people out there. The people for the ball. It was a ball that was on the line of the legs and swung it away. That's going miles for 6 runs. This shoe is Ted McLean in the man from Derby. And I would say, Andrew, that Simmons is back. We've seen him struggle the last year or so, but at the BCG, the last 2 or 3 games, he's really looking good, Nick. He's looking good, Nick. What will Bishop do? Comes in both to Simmons. Simmons is forward. And they go, no, we want more, Simmons. As he pushes the ball away into the offside, down to cover, there's no run. 28 from 67 balls. Simmons, 4 from 25. Bishop comes in. Simmons gets the ball short, six into the onside. Little on the line of the leg. Someone just worked up to Mirica for one. Now it's got a 90 for one, 26. Yeah, and there's a calmness about Timmons being able to now mix aggression and with defense. You know, so many of our players, when they start to attack, they can only attack and that's it. But Timmons now playing a long defensive shot. This last ball, this moving across and tucking the ball, that is gently on the outside and jogging through. On the evidence of what we've seen so far here, you would say that Trinidad and Tobago are miles above the other teams in this competition. I wouldn't say miles, but they're certainly above the other teams. It's a very professional outfit. I feel to under the guy, and I could give them a better run. Jamaica. The end of cricket too much.
Given
fact,
you didn't factor in the game.
Factor, you're right. But I think Wynwood Islands is a
Wynwood Islands is a good side.
Mm-hmm. Beaton comes in again to bowl to Simmons for this delivery. On the line of the middle stump, that's a good delivery. Inside edge, and it goes behind him. I think likely for one. Of course, your good friend Clovis Emmanuel has come in. He's going to be taking over very soon. Did Claudius play for Western Lucian?
Oh, yes, Claudius played.
What was he?
He was a fast.
I've never heard of him.
Claudius was a fast boy. Played for the Wynwood Islands youth team. He also played for the Western Lucian senior team.
Okay.
And
how quick was Claudius?
Claudius was quite sharp. Mm. He would have enjoyed bowling in these conditions.
Claudius is not a cricket name. 19 for a loss of one. Here's Beaton. Comes up now, goes past the umpire, he's doing both short, Simmons is on top of it, pushes on to cover, there's no run, 27 to get from 65 balls. So, does he play any more, Claudio?
Doesn't know, but there's a little story about him in that he was in the Wynwood Islands 17 and
one would think that the logical person to come in would have been him when one of the bullets.
Then in sprang, I think it was Casper Davies from nowhere.
Is that true, Claudio?
Tom and Cuffy, he was one of the
pension fire bowlers.
So you have
to say, yes, Beaton comes in, bowls the Davis is on the round of the leg, set, turned away by Rappel Square for one, to carry the score to 91 for a loss of one. 26 more to get some 65 balls. Continue that story.
Yes, I was thinking that it was Casper Davis, because Cuffy would have been in the squad, you know, on the
bench. Oh, it was Cuffy.
He determined that it was Cuffy, but that was one of the reasons why Claudius did not get in a team, and the following year he went off to university.
He was actually saying that you're correct.
Oh, he was saying that after the
game. Can you imagine the deputy
center of the committee?
I think Kenny Ant is going to fire him.
Oh, God.
Can't worry, but I'm going to run. He's the deputy director of your country, not just director as well.
When is birthday?
It's past weekly, isn't it?
No,
it's coming somewhere in April.
I took it on properly,
man. Indeed. 26, forget some 52 balls, 91 for one. Someone's is on 46 for. And what a game. Complete dominance by TMD. The men from the land of Calypso. Here we go. Beaton comes up now in both to Pollock. Pollock is across the stumps and pushes up the mid off. There's no run. It's a big region. 26 to get from 61 balls.
Yeah, Pollock hasn't had anything to hit. He must come out here to try to how quickly and to give the crowd a little entertainment. But if he's going to drive anything from Beaton, it appears to be from his chest.
Yes, I think Pollock is waiting for the spin.
Would he going to try anything with Beaton?
Not as comfortable into the aggressive bowling.
And at all the sudden, if they're going to bowl at Pollard, he's trying maybe bowl some quick balls as he comes up now, he's going to bowl some short days. Pollard going right across, Watson beaten very carefully. Respect is good for the world. Yeah, I can't talk the way to do that. It's going to have this to do a long way. And Pollard has a big smile on his face. Hey, did you see something?
Yeah. He beaten the shoulder crash. He went by.
Are you serious?
Pollard seemed to initially joking with him. He said,
Oh my golly. I wouldn't want to get into any fight with Pollard. I can show you I'm beaten by no stretch of imagination as a big man. Okay, I'll leave it with you, and then it's going to be Carlos Emmanuel.
Yes, Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana locked. Trinidad easily well ahead by several lengths in this horse race, and Guyana trying to catch up, but the finishing line is getting closer and closer. I think one knows that the finishing line is well beyond. Guyana could get to.
So, 26 from 60 as Darren starts the new over and sends Simmons back. He plays it into the offside to the Sammy Pomo field, and there's no run. So the situation as the delivery slipped out towards the onside as Cronman comes off the boundary and fields. Sure. Tobago team doing it quietly here. 25 required from 68. Julian Charles goes away. Wayne Daniel is in the comments chair to my right to usher the Trinidad and Tobago team to what will be a very comfortable victory. John Ryan goes over the wicket to the big man Paulad. Paulad is back and has gone down hurriedly on it and says it out towards long on. And we just one more to Paulad. He's three. He's faced 15 deliveries. But it's been a very interesting contest between himself and Beaton. Beaton with the extra pace has really kept Paulad quiet. And time he waits as Simmons is playing to backward point. Johnson comes in front of Jacobson, and there's no run. So 24 from 56. Trinidad doing it on a canter here as John Ryan brings Simmons forward. Misunderstanding, but in the end, Simmons will complete the single as John Ryan completes the fielding on the edge of the circle. The total going to 23 needed from 55, and it's easy like I think for Trinidad Tobago win.
Yeah, it's all over bar the for Guyana.
Johnny Ryan moves into the right under Paulad. Paulad is hitting big straight 6 runs over long off top, and for the first time we have seen Paulad getting the room to freeze arms, and he took up the challenge to Tobago 100 for one, 17 as Trinidad get closer and closer all the time.
Yeah, it's a good shot by Pollard, and that's where he likes it, anything on a length, a foolish length, because he come forward and he hit through the ball nicely there, straight ahead, being right ahead for 6. But it was noticeable when Beaton was bowling to him, obviously Beaton knowing that he doesn't like the ball when it's 16 short, and a couple of deliveries that were short over the head, bouncers, but there were a couple that were short around Pollard's waist, and he just patted them back on the pitch. And it looked to me as though, I mean, he could have looked to pull those deliveries down, but was just going to cross him back down the pitch.
Limited. Sammy Pomo starts to Simmons, who is on 48, and just skips that out towards the onside. They'll be looking for a second. Pollard responds. Jacobs comes from the deep mid-wicket country. So 50 coming now for Simmons. So 50 from 34 balls. And Simmons continuing to do a great work, a great job, sorry, at the top of the turn as they go back in. As they go to 102. 50 needed. Simmons with a pretty rapid 50.
Yeah, terrific knock. Full of confidence, Simmons, and he laid into Bishu.
3 sixes and 4 fours in this knock as Simmons is playing back to Pomal, and he picks it up on the just in front of where mid-on would have been. There's no mid-on, still that long on as Pomal comes in both. Still Simmons. Simmons is back and plays it out towards mid wicket. Jacobs will come off the boundary, and the Trinidad Tobago total will go up by 1 to 103 for 1. Pollard comes in to strike, 9 from 16. So 14 required from 54. Trinidad, they're going to have a pretty large cushion of balls left as this delivery by Pollard is hitting high, out towards long off, over long off, into the Rosalie stand to our left as it was pitched up. Loves them in the slot. He got under it and hit it high over the long off fielder and into the spectators to our left. They're jumping all over the place as the total goes to 109 and Trinidad goes to within a couple of big strokes of the victory. From all to Pollard, hits that down the ground straight. One bounce into the boundary for four as he rushes this team to 113. Pollard rushes to 19. Trinidad Tobago, they need four from 49 balls to be successive Caribbean T20 champions here as the defending champions. They have really muscled themselves through and Guyana being mission here at Bosse's U. Pollard to Pollard, in fact, Fumble to Pollard. Pollard doesn't get hold of it and it picks up on the edge of the circle as four Tobago players on the edge of the circle looking to rush on. They had the anticipation that Pollard maybe would have smashed it but not cueing it properly, and now they settle themselves at the end of the over. Four needed some delivery. Eight overs direction needed. 113 for one. Trinidad Tobago need four for victory at both of your cricket ground.
Coverage today on Wendy's Cricket Radio.
Well, would we get it? The victory with a boundary, a six, a four, or singles. Gentlemen, what do you say?
Need another prediction, huh? Well, I'll say a straight drive all the way to the boundary, four.
Straight drive, four. Leon, what do you say?
Yeah, I just joined you guys back, but I didn't hear the question. So.
No, we say there's four more needed to get. At the end of it, would we make it with a boundary, or are they gonna just get singles? And
oh well,
three more ones.
I think Pollard is gonna get it with a boundary now.
Okay, so well, let's see what the commentators have to say. Hold on.
Dion Narayan, that is flighted, and he just plays it up on the onside and brings deep mid wicket into play. Funded, and one more will be taken. Seems a definite ploy in Daniel to allow the winning run to be by the big man Pollard. To smash that, but he's taken a single to bring Pollard on strike. So Trinidad Tobago wanting it to be done in grand style. Pollard with the opportunity to bring them to victory. Dion Narayan to Pollard, hits that out towards the onside. The sweeper in Barnwell drop the catch and bumps to run. So definite opportunity here for Pollard to hit the winning run, but it was pitched up. He didn't really get hold of it while taking the outer portion of the bat. And the Banwell coming off the sweeper boundary, so dropping short, low down, not able to hold on. Dion Narayan to Pollard. Pollard slides the delivery, hits it out of the ground. It's gone. It's big. It's massive. It's victory for Trinidad and Tobago as it hits the mid-wicket fence in front of the scoreboard. In fact, way into the ground and pandemonium out on the playing field as the Tobago team, they run towards the members of the Trinidad Tobago supporting. Powers off way to our left in the ground region. On the right of the scoreboard as we look at it. Trinidad Tobago, Caribbean T20 champions for 18. They beat Guyana by 9 wickets in over number 13. And the Trinidad Tobago in front and receiving the adulation of the support. A massive support from Trinidad Tobago. I make it some 60-70% of the crowd putting red shirts in support of the Red Cross. And my word, what a force have they been, Wayne Daniel. They have totally obliterated Guyana to emerge successive champions. So, winners of Caribbean T20 2013.
Yeah, they continue the dominance of tournament here in the final. And Guyana never got into the game. Guyana never got into the game. They were just sort of blown away by Trinidad and Tobago. Very early on, when Trinidad bowled a 5-3 and picked up those wickets. Bagley and Gabriel picked up those early wickets, and they never allowed Ghana to recover, never gave Ghana any breathing room. And when they came out here to bat, Simmons and Lewis just played positively from the start. Simmons was probably a bit slow in getting. And then we saw when Lewis got out, followed the big man coming in at number three. And certainly was retained the crowd because he's good viewing. He's great viewing. He and Chris Gayle, when they find form, when they're in touch, you see what some big hits, some big sixes. And the crowd loved that. And he didn't disappoint tonight, Pollard. So, terrific victory for Trinidad and Tobago. From the carry that form from early in the tournament all the way through. And they've come out victorious tonight.
Well, there we have it, gentlemen. We will be joining the presentation when it comes on. It's the end of the 2020 tournament for the Caribbean T20 tournament. Leon, you can help us along the way with the franchises that they're going to be bringing on a little later. We'll get into that. But for now, let's just go and say congratulations to Trinidad and Tobago for winning the 2013 West Indies 2020 T20. They are champions. They are true champions, let's say. And we take nothing away from Guyana. They worked hard to get into the finals, but today they just did not show up on the podium. They were blown away by the confidence alone from Trinidad and Tobago. But I let you have your say. Let's hear Simon first before Leon give us the details and the scorecard. Simon.
Yeah, well, you know, it was good cricket. You know, the better team won, deservedly so. They bowled better, and they showed us their batting too. And I was tempted to say they're going to knock that off without losing a wicket. But they did lose one wicket. But they batted well. They deserved to win. And congratulate to them. And congratulations also to Guyana for reaching the finals. That was good showing on their part yesterday against Jamaica. And the better team won today. That is cricket.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Leon, you can give us a quick take, and then you
yes,
can
my quick take is, I wonder if the effects of Ghana playing 3 days in a row has taken toll of them. But that said, they did not perform well today. They got shell-shock after the pace of Gabriel sent back a couple of their batsmen, the key batsmen in that saw one who was off. Really off. I thought they might have rearranged the batting somewhat, but they never did that. They just stuck to the old policy. So they faltered. And when they score 116 runs, that was not enough. That was far. That was about 30 runs short of where they ought to have been. But nevertheless, you know, the runs were scored, 116. You should have defended better. I thought they made an error when they did not open with that young man. Beaten. He looked good. He looked hostile. He looked aggressive. And with a little luck, they might have gotten a couple of wickets early and could have put some flutters among the Trinidadians. But not to take anything away from the Trinidadians, they played excellent. They played aggressive, but for a few drop catches. And we found that Guyana also drop catches. It probably might have been the light. But nevertheless, it's a victory well deserved by the Trinidadians, and they deserve to represent us in the Championship League. That said, I just want to just go on to the full course scorecard. We have given you the Guyanese batting and the Trinidad batting. I should say Trinidad, but the Trinidad and Tobago batting. I beg your pardon, because Lincoln Simmons, he is not out on 52. His 52 came from 35 deliveries. He had 4 fours and 3 sixes. He had a strike rate of 140.54. Lewis, who opened with him, showed some very good promise as an opener. He was caught Johnson, excellent catch in the slips of the bowling of Beaton for 32 from 18 deliveries. He had 4 fours and 2 sixes. Pollard, he was a little ruffled in some respect. by the pace of beaten, but he did not succumb. He was dropped in the last over. Not that it mattered, but he was dropped. He went on to score 25 from 21 deliveries. He had a 4 3/6. His strike rate was 119. So there you have it. The Trinidadians 120, which meant they are the Caribbean T20 champions yet another time. Let me give you the bowling, because Jacobs had 3 overs for 35 runs without a wicket. Barnwell, 1 over for 10 runs without a wicket. Beaton, he was the pick of the bowlers. He had 4 overs, 11 runs, 1 wicket, 2.75, but he had a no ball and a wide. So that somewhat tarnished his effort, but I like the young man. He looks aggressive. And he has the pace. He's above 85. So I think with his developing, I think we have a good couple of pace bowlers. We saw in the pacer from Trinidad, Gabriel, and now Beaton. These are two young prospects who need to be nurtured. Bishu had none for 30 from 2. And I said prior to this, I think Bishu is gone. He just keep bowling short. And, not even can he contain any batsman. He went for 30 from 2 overs, an average of 15. And, of course, he had a wide. Dean Ryan, 1.3 overs, 16 runs, 10.66, the economy rate. Permal, 1 over for 13 runs. And, his average was 13. So there you have it, Trinidad and Tobago. Winners, comprehensively, one side of the fair, but it ought not to have been so. I don't think Permal kept him well, but nevertheless, Trinidad and Tobago needs to be congratulated. It's a very well-deserving victory, and they are true champions. I like the little duel between Beaton and Pollard. You saw he rubbed shoulders with Pollard on his way. He brushed shoulders with him on his way back to his field.
He has got to be careful with that, though, Leon, because it's a non-contact sport, and people have been fined for those kind of stuff, walking up and touching. It's a non-contact sport, and if this was an opponent abroad, they would have made much of that. So that's something the young man ought not to practice. I saw that, but, from West Indian to West Indian, it's good gesture, but I can tell you, and you would have known that too, Leon. It's a non-contact sport. You go up to the thing. I think it was Fidel Edwards that did something like that.
And he was fine, too?
And he was fine, yes. Yeah. You walk up and you pump your chest against somebody who you debated there.
But a wonderful thing that he obviously just ran across him. And they showed it over again, too. So.
Yeah, well, they can make much to do with that. Much of nothing, really. But like I said, it's something that he ought not to practice. He's a young, upcoming bowler, and stick to hitting the stump, knocking the stumps over, or having guys smell the leather. But on to more positive things, Leon. If it wasn't for the 5 extra runs that was given from the no ball and the 4 that went for over his head there, that young man would have bowled his 4 overs for 6 runs.
Yep. The guy bowled with a lot of fire.
Yes.
He bowled accurately, and he bowled, except he had an attack that really he pinpoint where he was going to bowl to Pollard, and he maintained that. Pollard didn't get anything in the slot for him to wave. I saw him how he bowled the other day to Gale too. He was also very effective to Gale as well, and.
Yeah.
I fancy his chances of improving.
Okay, let's break here and go back to the presentation as Bishop is on the podium.
Back at the Queen's Park Oval as the music plays around in the background. Congratulations to the Trinidad and Tobago team. They've proven that they have been the most consistent all-round team in this tournament. A three-peat for Trinidad and Tobago. Please show your appreciation for the champions of the Caribbean T20 2013. I'd like to introduce the presentation party, the ladies and gentlemen away to my left. I'll start with Tara Edwards, St. Lucia's representative to Miss Universe 2013. Dr. Alphonsus St. Rose, director of the St. Lucia Tourist Board. Thaddeus Antwine, deputy director of the St. Lucia Tourist Board. The Honorable Claudius Francis, president of the Senate, St. Lucia. The Honorable Dr. Julian R. Hunt, president of the West Indies Cricket Board. The Honorable Sean Edward, Minister of Youth Development and Sports, former national cricketer and manager of the Windward Islands Under-19 team. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us and your presence tonight. I'd now like to invite Versami Pomol, the Guyanese captain, to come forward. Versami, commiseration. It's just strange looking at the batting and to see how the extremes were up and down in this tournament.
Well, yeah, you can't take away anything from Trinidad. I think they really played some good cricket throughout the tournament. I think especially in this game today, I think they pick up all the wickets. We really never got a momentum. We never really get any significant partnership going. And we keep losing wickets at crucial stage.
Was it an impact of batting first? Ghana obviously enjoyed chasing.
Well, we love to bat forward, but unfortunately, we got no control over that.
All right, positives out of this tournament. You've had some good individual performances.
Yeah, I think we played some catch-up cricket during the tournament. I think Barnard played some good innings. I think Jacob bowled some decent spells for us.
Well, you're almost there, and given all the problems, I'm sure that the Guyanese fans will be pretty pleased with the effort that you guys have given.
Well, yeah, I think the Guyanese fans back home really supporting us and really for reaching to the final. I think I want to thank each and every single one in the stand here and back home.
Congratulations on getting to the final, and may you go further next time around. Thank you very much, Versami.
Yes, thanks.
A big thank you there to Versami Pomol, the captain of Guyana. I'd now like to invite the captain of Trinidad and Tobago, Dinesh Ramdin, to come forward. How does the three-peat sound to you?
It's amazing. Trina Robish.
Your thoughts on the performance tonight?
It was fantastic. Winning the toss was important. Going out there and executing our plans, picking up early wickets. And we have a great bunch of guys there. Fantastic. I can't ask for more support staff. Amazing.
Yeah, and everyone seems to have bought into it because you've had different guys. You've had maybe one or two dominant, but different guys also step up.
Yeah, that's what team is all about. You know, different guys for different occasions. Shannon Gabriel, you know, he came in and fantastic. Riyad Emirates, everyone did their part.
All right, just talk a little bit more about Shannon Gabriel. He had his injury problems, but his pace tonight was fearsome.
Yeah, his pace was up there, probably 90-plus. He's a plus for us. Ravi was out of injury, and he stepped up to the plate. You know, he's back with full fitness, waiting for a place on the West Indies team again.
As you go forward now, what's the next level that you can take this team to?
Well, I think once we go out there, we just enjoy ourselves, play our cricket as hard as possible, and just try to beat everyone that comes in our way.
How will you be celebrating?
Celebrating. We'll have a lot of drinks tonight. Just want to thank all the fans that came over from Trinidad. We had an amazing time at the Queen's Park Oval. I hope everyone got home safely.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on the victory.
Selfish.
A big thanks there to Dinesh Ramdin, the captain of the victorious Trinidad and Tobago team. Right, the commentators were charged once again with the responsibility of choosing the player of the match, and you had some good batting performances. You had Evan Lewis at the top for Trinidad and Tobago. You had Lendl Simmons batting beautifully. But in the end, the player that we felt gave Trinidad and Tobago control of this match was Shannon Gabriel with his pace. Shannon will first of all collect his award from Dr. Alphonso St. Rose. Shannon, congratulations. You had your injury last year. How does it sit with you now? Is this confirmation of that full recovery?
Yeah, I think I've been working hard for the past few months. It's been a difficult year for me. And coming into this tournament, I didn't start it off well as I wanted to. But as the tournament went along, I think I'm feeling good now.
What aspect of your bowling pleases you most about how it has gone in this tournament?
I think it's more the consistency. I think it's in the areas that I really want to.
Very brief. Are you going to give me a little bit more than that? What are you looking forward to in the future? What are your next set of goals?
Right now, I'm just taking it step by step. Hopefully to go ahead to start off in the 40 and to put a good performance forward.
Well, we enjoyed watching you, and we wish you all the very best, and good to see you coming back from injury. Congratulations on your Man of the Match award.
Yeah, thanks.
Big thank you there to Shannon Gabriel for his Man of the Match performance. Next item on the agenda is the end of series presentation to the match officials, without whom this contest would not really have been possible, the officials, the match referees, the umpires. I'd like to start off by asking the match referee, Mr. Patrick Felix, to come forward first of all. And he will collect his award from Mr. Thaddeus Antwine. I'll ask Gregory Brathwaite to come forward as well. Thank you very much, Gregory. Patrick Gustard. Leslie Reaper. Ferdane Smith is next. Peter Nero. Joel Wilson. And he will be followed by Nankumar Shisanka. And last, but by no means least, will be Nigel Duggan. The officials have worked very hard during the course of this tournament, and we want to wish them all the best as they kick on in their careers. The next item on the agenda will be the man of the series, again, as chosen by the commentators, and we've had some outstanding performances across this tournament. Special mention has to be made of a Christopher Barnwell for his 245 runs and 6 wickets in this tournament. He almost single-handedly took the game away from Jamaica last night. However, the choice of the commentators is Darren Bravo for his 225 runs, averaging 75 at a strike rate of 151. The award will be presented to Darren by Mr. Claudius Francis. Darren, congratulations. Great form.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank the Almighty God for obviously giving me this wonderful talent so I can go out and represent my country in the best possible way.
What is the secret? Is there a special way that you approach the T20s and get that method of consistency?
Before the start of the tournament, I did some pretty good work with the national senior team coach, and obviously my role was to bat through as much as possible in this tournament, and obviously the help from the senior guys, experienced guys, helped me along the way, so I'm really happy for that.
And the bulk of your work, the bulk of your run scoring came on a much slower track at the Queen's Park Oval, which is your home ground, I suppose.
Yeah, obviously. All my life I've been playing at the Queen's Park Oval, so it was nice to perform in front of my home court as well, and yeah, it's great feeling to win 3 years in a row, and congratulations to the entire Toronto Diego team.
And to take this forward as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Darren, thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Big thank you there to the man of the series, Darren Bravo. I'd like to ask the Guyana team to come up now and collect some mementos from the honorary Sean Edwards. Each member of the team will collect a commemorative medal. Captain Versami Pomol will collect his first of all. Chris Barnwell, Ramnar Sawan, got Shivnar and Chandapal in that lineup, and so many players of this Ghana team that have done the job well to get to this final. Been an outstanding effort from all of them, and they've played their part, Narsing Dion Ryan, all the senior players, even those who are still young, Leon Johnson. Special mention to be made of Runsford Beaton, who has captured a lot of eyes in this tournament. Derwin Christian, Trevon Griffith. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Please keep coming. Royston Crandon. Stephen Jacobs. Devendra Bishu. Jonathan Fu. And members of the coaching staff there as well. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for the part that you have played. A big thank you there to the members of the Guyana team. Now I'd like to invite the members of the winning Trinidad and Tobago team to come up, and they will collect their mementos from the president, Dr. Julian R. Hunt. Dennis Randon will lead his troops forward. Darren Bravo, Dwayne Bravo, Shannon Gabriel, William Perkins, Riyad Emrit, Evan Lewis, who has certainly announced himself here as well, Yannick Otley, Sunil Narine. All coming forward, and some little ones in that group here as well. Some new faces for the future. Jason Mohammed, Lendell Simmons. Samuel Badri. Kyron Pollard, senior and junior. And of course, the members of the management team or technical staff, whichever one you choose, David Williams. And Omar Khan. So I'd like to invite Dennis Randon, the captain of the Trinidad and Tobago team, to come forward and collect his trophy presented by Dr. Hunt. I'm not quite sure how Dinesh will hold on to everything, but I think there's another trophy there to be presented as well. All right, so Dinesh, I think you want to go off and celebrate with the guys. You've got your hands full already. So a big thank you to everyone who has been a member of the presentation party. Congratulations to Trinidad and Tobago on their three-peat here in a fantastic tournament. And a big thanks to the ground staff, Ken Crafton, and his men as well for superb facilities. That is the end of the presentation ceremony.
Congratulations,
entity. Well, gentlemen, there we have it. And we've come to the end of quite a spectacular event, the T2020 being played in St. Lucia, the final, second half, I should say, the first half. It all began in Trinidad and Tobago. And I may very well say that kudos to the West Indies Cricket Board, ESPN, and I dare say the cricket show, which would have brought you live coverage on this finals between Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana. Leon?
A great show by the West Indies Cricket Board. I thought it was a tremendous, tremendous tournament. The interest was there. And I just want to applaud the people from St. Lucia. They came out in numbers. And I applaud them for that, because in some countries, their teams would not have been playing, and the crowds would not have turned up. But St. Lucia turned up, and I think West Indies cricket is better for it all. And I just hope and pray that we can continue when the league begins some time later this year. I don't know the details yet, but I do hope that the interest continues. Our next thing is going over to Australia and playing those five ODIs and a T20. Hopefully, like you said, we have some concerns about Dinarine and Sawan, who is woefully out of touch. I thought the captaincy of Pramal was left something to be desired. I thought, I don't know if they came with a plan to bowl Barnwell, yeah, was good, but he should not have gotten the new ball. I would have started with Leon, with Jacobs, Stephen Jacobs, and this guy beat Maybe he might have taken a toll of Irvin Lewis early, or he might have gotten Simmons. We don't know. But he really, really caused some problems with his pace. And what else? The catching, I believe the light had some effect. But they were beaten aside after that catch was dropped by the wicketkeeper Christian and the bowler. Some understanding needed to be exercised there. I thought that Christian should have called out and said, I got it. I got the gloves, which is the more safer of the hands. And let the young man move on. And we saw Bravo dropping 1-2. That was a much difficult catch. And then there were two catches that were dropped by Emmett. But he came back and got a couple of wickets. And I'm sure all the people have heard who are the man of the series. I thought the man of the series might have gone to it might have been shared, because I thought Barnwell did a tremendous job last evening to bring Guyana to the finals. But Bravo have been playing a consistent role all along. So, nevertheless, again, for those who haven't heard, the scores were that Guyana made 116-6, and Trinidad were able to knock it off for the loss of one wicket, 120 for the loss of one wicket. So, a good tournament, and it should do well for West Indies cricket.
Okay, Simon?
Yes, well, you both said everything that should be said, but I just want to say good night to everyone, and it was great you be able to bring this show live to everyone, cricket lovers all over the world, who can hear live cricket coming all the way from St. Lucia between two good teams. There were two good teams to get to the top, Guyana and Trinidad. Guyana came up second, but the better team won. So that is cricket, and we are looking forward to a good match and have players play like how the Trinidadians play tonight. If we can play that in Australia, we're on our way back to the top where we should be. So have a good week, everybody. And I want to say I hope that Audley gets well very, very soon. We did miss him tonight. And also Virgil, if he's listening. And to you too, you do such a great job all the time bringing this show to the whole world of the cricket show here in South Florida.
Well, thank you for that. I hope that Virgil was listening here, because on this show, let's just say, we're here to educate, we're here to inform, we're here to listen too, and ourselves are here to learn. But let me remind Virgil that I did say that from time to time, and in most occasions, the man of the series oftentimes would make a speech. I remember I was chastised for saying Chander Paul should have made a speech when he was named the man of the series. This evening, we see it again here, where Darren Bravo was named man of the series, and he was in front of the microphones talking his piece. So I don't think I was really out of place when I brought it to Virgil's attention that the man of the player of the series, more often than not, and as far as I can remember in looking at cricket, would always thank you. And the last one before that I remember is the 2020 tournament over in India, where Shane Warne was named the man of the series. He stayed back even though his team got knocked out, and he gave his little 2 cents. He gave his speech. So, like I said, we're here to pass on whatever information we get. We do not do it for ourselves. But, Leon, a quick rundown on the whole tournament. We may very well want to get the listeners in on what we all started and some of your new findings. But before I say that, let me just talk about this match. It's cause for concern. Not only Deon Ryan and Sawan. Pollard himself, with the quicker bowling and the bowlers coming across his chest, he's not able to score. I'm hearing some shuffling there. He's not able to rotate the strike. It was not necessary tonight, I may say that. But I think it would have been a good thing if he could have worked those balls off his hips for singles. Imagine they brought in a forward short leg while he was batting. That is in itself is saying something. Now, Sawan is going down to Australia on some fast, bouncy tracks. And as those who were privileged to see the matches themselves would have seen, Dwayne Bravo, from his fielding position at mid-wicket, was telling Gabriel to bowl the ball across Sawan's throat. Keep it up here. Keep it up here. So, evidently, Bravo knows that he does not score freely with the bouncing ball. Now, everything is being watched and looked at. They are being videotaped. There have been highlights of, batsmen highs and lows. And I'm guaranteeing you that people in Australia, those video guys who normally, the analysts, they're looking at these things. And right away, if not before now, I am guaranteeing you that they are working. And Sawan, if he gets in, I'm going to put a big capital IF. If he gets in the first 11, because there's no guarantee that Sawan with his performance, I know it is 2020, but you cannot be scoring 50-something runs as a senior batter, coming back into the fray of West Indian fold, and telling me you're going on to Australia as a former captain and vice captain, a senior player, replacing a Marlon Samuels, as far as I'm concerned, who was head and shoulders above most of our players. For him to be looking the way he is looking, for me to stay here tonight and saying, I am very confident that Sawan will come good. Mind you, cricket is a funny game. He may very well go on strike form in Australia. But I can tell you right now, I think that the captaincy of Kumar and management team should have moved Sawan from the number three position. Definitely. It's a failure there. I know that Marlon Samuels will be batting number three for us while they push Bravo down. Maybe he wanted to get accustomed to that. But it was not working for them. It has not worked for Bravo. I mean, for Sawan. And, we look at the big picture here and the cricket show. We look at West Indies cricket. We look at what's coming up next. Australia is next. Horses for courses. Sawan may not very well be the right man to have gotten the nod going to Australia on the bouncy tracks. But I leave it there for now, Leon. We can go back. If you want to comment on that too, you can. But we just want to just wrap up the series starting all the way in Trinidad, further south, and coming a little further north, still in the south though, St. Lucia, and the grand finale. But it started in Trinidad, and you may very well want to take us there and how we got here.
Leon. Jamaica and Trinidad played, our tour played in the first match, which started on January 6th. That match was washed out. Barbados took on the Leewards, and they trashed the Leewards by 9 wickets. The combined campuses and colleges came up against Guyana at Port of Spain. The Guyana winning there by 2 wickets in a very tight affair. Barbados versus Jamaica, Barbados winning by 5 wickets. The combined campuses and colleges versus Trinidad and Tobago, easy victory for Trinidad again by 7 wickets. Jamaica versus the Windwards at Port of Spain, Jamaica winning by 12 runs. Leewards against Trinidad, they were beaten badly, Trinidad winning there by 95 runs. The combined campuses and colleges played the Windward Islands next, and the Windward Islands beat the combined campuses by 42 runs. Barbados versus Guyana. Guyana winning there by 42 runs. Trinidad. Barbados was dismissed for a very, very poor score. Jamaica versus the Leewards, which was a very tight affair. The match went to the tiebreaker, the decider over, which the Jamaica won easily because the Leewards only score a matter of 2 runs, and it was 1 delivery that enabled them to go to victory. Barbados came up against the combined campuses and colleges at Port of Spain, and the combined campuses and colleges prevailed by some 12 runs. The Leeward Islands against the Windward Islands, the Windward Islands winning there by 10 runs. Guyana against Trinidad and Tobago, Trinidad and Tobago winning there by 80 runs. The Jamaica versus Guyana. Jamaica winning there by 5 wickets. Trinidad and Tobago versus the Windward Islands. Trinidad and Tobago winning there by 8 wickets. The combined campuses versus the Leewards. The Leewards winning the only match by 4 runs. Barbados versus Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago winning there by 5 wickets. Guyana versus the Leewards. The Guyana winning there by 14 runs. Barbados against the Windwards. The Windwards win there by 4 wickets. And the combined campuses and colleges versus Jamaica. Jamaica winning by 7 wickets. Guyana versus the Windwards. Guyana winning there by 4 wickets. And the playoff, Jamaica versus Guyana. Guyana winning there. And then today, the finals, Trinidad and Tobago winning by some 9 wickets. I tell you how they won in the preliminary rounds. We talked about it earlier, but we'll go over it again because Trinidad played 6 matches. They won 5. They had a total of 21 points. Jamaica played 6, won 4, lost 1, and there was a no contest or no result. They had 17 points. That no contest was against Trinidad and Tobago, the first match. The Barbados, Guyana came 3rd, having won 6, or played 6 matches, won 4, and lost 2. They ended with 16 points. The Windward Islands played 6. They won 3 and lost 3. And they had 12 points. While Barbados had 6 matches played, they win 2 and they lost 4. Strange enough, they won their first 2 and they lost all 4 matches in the end. The combined campuses, they win 1 from 6. They're losing 5. They ended with 4 points. With a better net run rate than the Leewards, who also finished with 4 points from 6 matches, winning 1 and losing 5. So, was a tremendous tournament. I thought it's one of the better tournaments we ever had. And the fact that it was carried live by the ESPN3, that the world could have seen, I thought it was a great, great feat for the West Indies and a plus for the West Indies. And the fact that they really used up the carnival atmosphere in Trinidad, I thought that was indeed a great addition to the tournament. When Trinidad became involved, and notwithstanding, it was the carnival time, more or less around the corner. So the carnival atmosphere was there, and it adds some flavor to the cricket as well. Trinidad ended the tournament unbeaten. And the only team to have gotten a point from them was Jamaica because of the fact that the match was rained out. So, all in all, what can we say? There was not much hiccups. We saw some good fast bowlers come out, and I talked about them before. I want to repeat them again. We had a guy, Jason Holder, we talked about. He's from the combined campuses and colleges. I like this guy, Cotterill, from Jamaica. He needs to get a little bit more control. You had Beaton with some real good pace. And, of course, you see what Gabriel could have done. So we have 4 fast bowlers here. And then not to mention, we have Santuki out of Jamaica. He cannot be written off. And I thought Barnwell was a good addition to the tournament in itself. He came in as a good all-around, a good hitter of the ball. And who can we say? There's not much to, if you look at the Leeward side, I don't see much to laugh about. I thought the young man, Cornwall, added a little flavor to the Leeward side, but is that good enough? No, they still need a lot of attention. We have Powell, who was not at his best. We had Thomas come to his being late in the show, but that was not enough. Also, much is desired of these batsmen, the senior batsmen in the Leeward side. What of Tong? Tong was injured. He bowled a few good overs, but that's not enough. We need some penetration. Martin, I think Martin, I don't know if there isn't any a better bowler in the Leewards than Martin at this stage. Martin is just, to me, too predictable. He has to add some more variety to his bowling. I like Athanase, but Athanase, too, has got to change and improve with the variety that he has. And with Sylvester Jones, Joseph coming back, he too was out of sorts. He was not much fit after missing three or four years out of the business. I thought that in itself, well, set him back. I'm looking at the Windward Island side. The Lon Johnson is another young pace bowler that we have to watch. I don't think that Fletcher is to scratch. Charles too did not like the World on Fire. Liam Sebastian, I don't know if he will ever make it. He's got to put some good numbers in. But who else? Christian James, the keeper. I don't see anything to. I don't see much to shout about. They had a good captain in Sammy. He had a couple of good matches. And that was perhaps what I can see of the Windward side. Talking about the Trinidad side, we saw the young Lewis today batted well. Of course, Simmons was there and there about, somewhat inconsistent, but today he really lived up to expectation. My money today was really on Gabriel. He bowled exceedingly well. He was quick and he was accurate. And that is what fast bowling to me is all about. He was aggressive and he bowled some real sheer pace on a wicket. Kudos must be given to the ground staff of the St. Lucia or the Boosters Stadium. I thought it was an excellent, excellent batting wicket. And he gave assistance to the bowlers. And then if you could dig yourself in, you can make runs. In Trinidad side, well, Badri as usual bowled well. I don't think that Narine was at his best in this particular match. He was, but Trinidad didn't need him to some extent today because Gabriel was at his best. And Badri came in, and the catching to me was not the best under the lights, but might be a result of the type of lights that they're not accustomed to. I think Ramdin kept in the game excellent, I thought, today. He maneuvered his bowling well. He never kept the bowlers on for a very long spell. Bravo, well, the young Bravo to me had an excellent tournament. He batted well and under circumstances which he showed his class. And I think he will go far. What can I say about which other team? The combined campuses and colleges, I thought the very first match they played, it was against Jamaica. They did. I thought their running between the wickets was excellent in one stage, and then it just seemed as if they faltered off. But I think a team to be watched, they are steadily improving, and the fact that they played together for a long time, I would think that has some effect on them. Barbados team was a disappointment. I think after they started with those two wins, one against the Leewards, they badly manhandled the Leewards, and I think it's against Jamaica too. They won against Jamaica. But from after having done that, it seems as if they have some dissension in the camp. I don't know. Smith, he's very inconsistent. Again, he made a few runs, and then that was it. And then Bradford, the opener, he really pounded the Leewards, but then again, when he came up against the other better bowlers, he was not able to produce the kind of forms. Now, who else did I talk about? We talk about Guyana, we talk about Jamaica, we talk about the Leewards, the Windwards, Trinidad and Tobago. Jamaica, it's a disgrace that we could not have gotten Gail in the Jamaica side earlier. I thought, to me, the wicket-keeping for Jamaica was not at his best. I like Cotterill. I like Santuki. Miller and Brown. Miller bowled okay, not excellent. And Odin Brown to me wasn't outstanding. Kamal Lambert, he kept him well, but I think he was a little lucky in a sense that the Leeward should have beaten him. But you cannot dismiss what his performance. He won the game, and that's the result what counts. I don't think we have much to talk about. I don't think, who else? Hyatt, Bernard, no, just around the same average. Nothing outstanding. They didn't like the House on Fire. Who else? I don't see anybody. Well, Gales a couple of innings were really, really, really a class above the others in terms of hitting, power hitting. And it's a pity that we didn't get him in the early to see how he would have fared against the Trinidadians with that magnificent attack. But it was a good tournament, and a number of lessons are to be learned, that we still have players that can perform at the highest level. But there is a little notch to be learned, to step up a little notch so we can, you know, get among the elite players. And I think with all the number of leagues that are being opened all around the world, that our players need to show their class now so some of them can be picked. Trinidad won tonight without one of their better bowlers in Cooper, Kevin Cooper, and they won convincingly. So that tells you that Trinidad are producing players, and whatever they're doing, we need to have emulated that long, long time, and nobody seemed to be able to do that. And there's a wide gap between the Trinidadians and a number of the teams, especially the Leewards and to some extent the Windwards and, of course, Barbados and even Jamaica. Even at their best tonight, I don't think Guyana played to their best, and they had some major, major flaws. But West Indies cricket and the West Indies Cricket Board ought to be proud of this tournament. And I'm glad that we were able to see it live and we were able to carry some of it throughout the world.
Yes, well, very well said, Leon. And what I can say here now, going forward, there's some cause for concern. And I'm going to say this from the cricket show. 2020, it's catching on worldwide. In order for us to really move forward and keep up with the times, we've got to have the changing of the guards. And I make no bones about it. Lambert is a very good captain in the long format, and it's now proven that in 2020 cricket, he's not the most agile, he's not the most successful captain. They've gone far into, call it the semi-finals, and the buck ends right there. They've never won this competition. They've never even threatened. Now, they were without Chris Gayle and Marlon Samuels, probably when they were at their best. But in order for Jamaica to move forward now, they've got to look in a different direction. I hope that they're listening. Or, if they're not listening live, they can always get into the archives and get what we're saying here. I am saying they've got to change that. Whether it's a Bernard going to take over the team now in the absence of probably Gayle or Samuels if they're not available, they've got to begin to look into that department. The coach, not the coach, the conveyor of selectors would have said leadership and captaincy is a rarity in the West Indies. That needs to be addressed. If Lambert is not going to move forward to take up the realms of an A team or the West Indies team, they've got to begin to search elsewhere. I leave the book. Let it stop right there. As far as Barr is concerned, I know he would have captained Jamaican teams in trial matches, like an A team against a B team. If they're going to look towards that in 2020, because he seemed to be that sort of a player, maybe they ought to begin to look in that direction. In terms of the CCC, Floyd Reefer, as an elder statesman, has got to give way. Now he's coach, captain, maybe even manager. It's time for him to step aside and let some other young person get in there and showcase their talent. He's taking up a valuable space. They're not going to be winning this tournament anytime soon with another year older in the likes of a Reefer. I don't see that. That has got to change. Now, here comes the big statement of the night. Mr. Chander Paul has got to give way to these younger guys right there in Guyana. They've made it to the semifinals, playing against Jamaica, beat Jamaica without him. They've scraped through against the Windward Islands, all because of his fitness, hamstring, that is. He couldn't even return to play. Now, in the finals here, I don't think he would have made any difference. But coming back a year later next year. It's time for Guyana to flip a page and just said in 2020, Chanda Paul, thank you. I know you're hungry, you want to play, you whatever. But they're not going any further than where they are. They have to look to challenge Trinidad and Tobago. They've got to do that. Leeward Islands, they cannot be taking somebody off a rubbish heap. In 2020, fast place thing to say, come and lead some guys who you were not interacting with. And the mere fact that they were not playing any cricket in the Leeward Islands of sort, you cannot just take, what's his name there? Sylvester Joseph, who in his heyday was a good captain, a good leader, in the 40 format especially. But this is 2020 cricket we're talking about. And you're asking him to lead some guys that he don't even know if they like to smile. They don't even know if they like to walk, talk, or whatever. When you're captain and leader, you must know a guy mood. You must know a guy if he's thin-skinned. You must know things off the field. And then bring the best batsman, the best thing out of a cricketer when you're a captain. And there is no way you're coming back after 3 years to look after your game and 10 other guys on the field of play. And not, it doesn't stop there either. They're going to give you 15, so you have to look after 14 other guys and yourself. The game is too fast-paced for Leeward Islands to be taking people like this and saying, let's go into a competition that's been seen worldwide without any preparation and expect to go far into the competition. Total disgrace. Now, Windward Islands, I think they can go far, but for whatever reason, somehow I don't think that they take the cricket seriously. I mean, look at the talent that they have there. I've seen a man like a Devon Smith, a guy who lit the world alight, Fletcher, in the Sanford 2020. They have not carried on. Johnson Charles, even after hearing his name announced with the West Indies team going to Australia, which is a big old surprise to everybody. You must come good, at least for the sake of the selectors. You must come good, just like a Sawan. You got a call up, you must come good. I'm saying this without any kind of water in my mouth. In order to justify your pick, get people into your corner. Justify your pick by even making an individual difference. Chris Gayle would have done that. He didn't perform in Australia. They brought him into the fray so he can make a difference with Jamaica. What did he do with the 2 innings? Set the world alight. That is what you do to justify your call-up. Because people would have been saying, why Chris Gayle? He turned his back on us. He didn't want us in the first place. A guy had to get injured for him to come in. But what did Gayle do? Shut up all the critics and say, it was not my fault we did not make it to the finals. Because I would have done my bit. It was for the others to lift the game up. But if you would have come in and make a ducks or didn't contribute, they would have said, what's the use? He just took up space and they should not pick him. This is what I am saying with guys. When you get a call-up, do your best. And that leads me to say, I am very proud of Devon Thomas. The pressure is on him because Dennis Ramden is being tutored as a captain for the West Indies. He hasn't failed on his comeback trail. He would have learned his lesson after pulling out a piece of paper out of his pocket upon making a century in England, saying, talk naviv. I have to say, he would have learned his lesson from then. He's looked good. He's been putting in a batting position and he's been performing for West Indies. Now, he seemed to have lost his way with the selectors in terms of the shorter version. He's not in the limited overs and he's not in the 2020. So Thomas would have gotten that call up. And what did Thomas do? Even though Leeward Islands fell short, especially at the latter part of it, Thomas would have heard his name called as the only keeper going on to Australia. To me, he would have proved the salt. He would have said, well, they're looking at me. I'm going to do something here to impress me, even though Leeward Islands are doing things. I'm going to justify my column. I think he would have done that. Anybody tell me that Thomas should not be there, I'll be the first to tell them. Not only the ones he would have made, you cannot justify his pick by saying that Leeward did not do well. And if they didn't do well, he shouldn't get a game. So my take on that is that he ought to grab this with both hands. I don't think he's on trial, to be honest with you, because the mere fact they only have one keeper, not even a backup keeper, because West Indies have to turn to Darren Bravo or Dwayne Bravo in the event of injuries. That's unless they would send for a keeper, which they can do. But they ought to take a page out of his book. Powell, he himself ought to have, you know, dig a little deeper and come a little better, because they had him there as a test batsman. All of a sudden, he performed against Bangladesh and he got into the shorter version. Now he has got to set the world alight. I'm happy that they're picking him. I don't think it's necessary for him to always be in the 11, but to be around the team meetings, fielding, practicing, perform in practices against the other bowlers, give him a knock. That's fine with me. But he has still got to do twice as much as the Chris Gayles, the Dwayne Bravo, the Darren Bravos. He's got to do twice as much, and somebody's got to put it in his head. This ought to be done, and it must be done. It is what it is. It's not right. It's not fair. You should be viewed the same way you view the other guys. But that is not the case. So buckle down. When these guys are spending 1 hour in the nets, you go and do 2 hours. It may sound unfair, but it's reality. Do that. So that's my real take on the individuals, Leon. You would have talked about the teams and how they perform. So I just went into the individuals there. We're looking for some better spinners. I am not too sure that Narayan is going to hold out. I think he might be walking the path of a Bishu. Bishu came in, set the world alight, became the emerging player. Narayan followed in his footstep, became the emerging player. Now, the way how I see Narayan bowls, when we're seeing him here, it doesn't seem to be the same thing. Unless now I can say, maybe Darren Sammy would be bringing the best out of him. Yes. Because what I saw tonight, and even in the tournaments here, he didn't set the world alight. I'm telling you the truth. So, I have to give kudos to that. Now, let me talk about this one incident before we turn over. I know we're into overtime and into overdrive. Yes. Darren Sammy would have done something, which I don't think I would have done it in terms of trying to get into a semi-final game. There was a play where it was borderline obstruction, and the appeal went up when the ball hit the batsman trying to make good his ground. It swerved a little bit to me because, you know, the rule is if you run out of line and run into the path of the ball, you could be given out for obstruction. But that one would have tied the game. And if it was a given out, then there would have been one shot and a man out. But Darren Sammy, right away, withdrew his appeal. So to me, in the spirit of the game, I probably didn't want to repeat what would have happened with Dwayne Smith and Dwayne Bravo. Right away, he withdrew the thing. And I think he just did it under the spirit of the game. We do not want to win that way. Just leave it alone. I don't know how many other persons would have done it under those circumstances. Because everybody wants to win. To enter the competition is $200,000. Just to appear. And I think anybody would want to give themselves every opportunity of getting into the fray. But Darren Sammy, a man amongst men, a leader, a man who wants to play fair at all times. Many people might not have seen the play, but while the shouts were going up because the ball did hit the batsman, shouting, it's an appeal. Mm-hmm. The law says you can withdraw your appeal. Darren Sammy withdrew his appeal, thereby no need to go upstairs, no need to review anything. Case closed, shook hands,
mm-hmm.
Walk off the field, wasn't mad with anybody. And that to me was one of the highlights. These are the kind of things that doesn't go into the...
There was an incident too, Ivor, with Hyatt and the Leewards too, which is a borderline. They never appealed, but Sammy Owen was clear because some of the players on his side were eager to get an appeal, and Sammy well squashed them out and said no. But Ivor, it's coming late for me, and I wanted to just, if you could, we can just wrap it up until another time, because the
hour
is...
Yeah, that's what I just said, we're into overtime. So I just wanted to just end it there, because Simon would have given his goodbye.
Yes, he has done.
I just want to thank the listeners who are still on with us, and quite, there were quite a few this evening on the telephone. I would imagine quite a few on the internet streaming live. But let me remind you that you may very well want to listen to the rebroadcast of this radio live ball-by-ball commentary that we had here for you tonight. It's going to be in the archives, and you can hit it as many times as you wish, and you can go forward, you can go backward, you can listen to it. Like I said, you can dissect it, you can get into the highs, into the lows, and this is all complement of the Cricket Show. So, Leon, I'm going to let you just, in essence, send us off here after I would have said it's a holiday weekend. They're celebrating the Martin Luther King weekend. It's tomorrow is his day. So make it peaceful. Make it, you know, joyous. Know what the guy stood for. He would have been 84 years old if he was alive today. So, what I can say, if
you're
driving,
very well.
Don't drink and drive. And I'm going to ask Leon to send us out with some blessings as well.
Yes, indeed. And we thank everybody for joining us. So, of course, you know, we are still asking for your contributions. You know, you can send your contribution via PayPal, paypal.com, put in our email, which is thecricketshow@comcast.net, and then send us a few dollars to help us keep the show on the air. We thank those who have helped us in the past and those who intend to help us in the future. And we enjoy your company. Those of you who have joined us, we appreciate you so very much. We wish you all well. We hope that you, your health, prosperity will be great for you in 2013, and may God continue to bless you and your family and all the millions of hundreds of people who have listened to us from week to week. And with your help and God's help, we will continue to grow. Thank you, Ivor. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Virgil. Thank you, Audley, although you're not with us this evening, and I think this is perhaps one of the evenings that you were not able to join us, but I know the flu is very, very much in the air, and I just urge you folks not to do what you can not to be affected by it. Wash your hands, use your sanitizers as much as you can, drink a lot of water, a lot of fluids, and we're going to be back next week. And like Ivor said, you can go into this archive and get this show, get the ball by ball commentary. We have two shows, so if you hit on the first one, you get the first segment, and then the second segment, you can also bless us, I mean, hear us. So with that being said, I want to say good night to all of you again, and thanks again for all the help and support. And I trust that you guys might be with us again next week, God's willing. Until then, I'm going to say good night to you folks. And the song I usually like to say, good night.
We want to thank everyone who's joined us. Please join Leon and Ivor again next Sunday at 3, and have a good evening.
Well, we will be really on from 6, but we haven't got that commercial change yet, but remind you that we are going to be on from 6. Good night. God bless you all.
Good night.